We're back. It's been 2 years since we first launched the podcast.
Yeah.
And I think when we launched it, we were in a very, very different space.
Crazy.
You know, we were a lot smaller. We were in a different office. We had a lot less staff. We were younger. And I think the reason we did the podcast was for like completely a different reason to why we would do it now.
Yeah, I think so. I think we want to chill it out a little bit more, have a bit more like candid conversations, like real conversations. But you know, I was thinking of this morning, you had to really convince me to do that 2 years ago. And
this time you've been too involved, to be honest with you.
Well, do you know, and I was thinking, I'm so glad I did do it.
Yeah.
Because we never really take the time to like reflect on, because it's so go, go, go all the time.
Yeah.
We don't ever sit and think of like how far we've come or what's happened in 2 years. Not that I have watched it back, but you look at the things that we speak about and how we are and how we conduct ourselves on that compared to now.
Well, I want this to be completely different because if I'm really frank, I actually don't like interviewing people. And maybe that just says a lot about me.
Do you know,
it's hard because I'm just such a chatty patty.
Yeah, I think so.
And
we have other people that are good at that, that we develop and we manage. So
I love the podcast, but more because of how many people used to tell me they used to listen to it.
Yeah.
Now, when I look back, I'm so super embarrassed because I think I was drunk for most of it. And honestly, I didn't let anyone speak.
Guys, this is coffee in the cup. This is coffee time. If you look back on the episode 2 years ago, I think there was Prosecco in a coffee
We've
mug.
Changed a lot. So I would think like, even as people, I'm in my 30s now. What the hell? Yeah, I hit 30. And in that time, I actually did do one of the things I wanted to achieve. And I got 30 under 30.
I know. Amazing. Whoop, whoop. Do you feel like, you know, because everyone says like when you turn 30, it's like you start your life again. I honestly feel like that has happened to you.
It has. I feel so different. And it feels so cringe when you say it to people. But it felt like I remember it being like 29. I woke up one day and I just was like, I'm just so unhappy with all these different things. I was unhappy with how the business was running and how I acted within the business.
Yeah.
I think one of the things people don't ever talk about, and I know I speak to you quite often about it, is watching, so especially these younger agencies come up, and I think it's incredible and I love watching it and that the new talent, but running before you walk.
Yeah.
And it was something that we did.
Yeah,
I would say we were very guilty of, and we grew so quickly that we actually had, it almost felt like we were just so go, go, go. The adrenaline got us there. Then you get to the top and then you go, shit, like what now? Why have we not sorted the base before we get to the top? And we've worked for the last, I guess, couple of years ensuring that our base is strong.
Yeah.
And we've got an incredible team.
Yeah.
And look what our talent are achieving.
I know. It's incredible. I think I was thinking this morning, like what was kind of that moment where we were like, shit, maybe we've grown too much. Because I feel like we definitely did run before we walked. But I think when you see other managements do that, and obviously when we did that, you kind of make no room for errors. You don't sit in your errors. You don't sit in your mistakes. And I think we didn't realize actually we have to start from the bottom, build out processes, build out a strategy. And it will, I think, do you know what I think the turning point was for us when we went to LA? And I think we saw how other agents work out there. Obviously, it's completely different market.
Working.
But I think me and you, we were so motivated out there. And obviously, you stayed out there a bit longer. But I remember coming back and being like, right, we need to be more fierce. We need to be more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And our like roster were great with talent. But actually, that comes from sort of within and the internal sort of structure of the business. So I feel like we've built that up since we last sort of sat in front of the camera. And
I know I said it to you the other day when we were talking about it, and I said, because you know I love to send you a little motivational quote video.
Hannah sends me probably about 10 motivational quotes a day, and I ignore
them all. It's so
I read them, but
you're so ungrateful.
No, but I think if someone's sending me a quote, what do you want me to respond? Like, oh, I love this quote. It's a 10 quotes. No, I do double tap.
Sometimes it's just funny memes.
Yeah. Sometimes like the dog and cat memes, I do ignore.
Ridiculous. So one I sent you the other day was like Tom Brady's video.
Yeah.
And his thing was really true about the only, I don't like, we've had some great successes as a business and our talent have achieved amazing things. I think the only time I've ever sat there and gone, wow, was when I obviously went to Australia with Grace for I'm a Celeb. That really was a real turning point, you know, of taking digital creators to mainstream. But in terms of every lesson or everything that I ever remember about this business is where it went wrong or things we've done wrong and every sort of big loss.
I think we both have that outlet though.
I don't sit and just like sit in my wins. Yeah, like I don't. And it's all about, that's when you really get tough and you really learn resilience of like running a business. And, you know, everyone online makes it look fantastic. Mm. And I think we're also guilty of that. I know I am, you know, but obviously you're behind the scenes with me. You see how stressed we both get. But, you know, I think I handle things worse. You're more chill when you handle things. But I think with me, I go into like self-destruct.
I think so. Yeah. I think I'm a bit more level-headed, and I think I can see things from a different view. But I think that's why me and you work so well. And I think actually, like one thing that I think we should speak about from the last time we did the podcast, you just made me MD.
Oh yeah! And God, has it been 2 years?
Yeah, it's been 2 years. And I think when that happened again, like we were saying, like running before we can walk, we were like, yeah, CEO, MD, without really giving it much thought or really understanding like what does that mean for us? Like, what is a CEO? What is an MD?
Well, I did, you think when I was MD, I didn't even really know what that did. I just did everything.
Yeah.
And you think realistically, there's only certain things that you started doing this year that I wasn't happy with sharing before.
Yeah.
And I was so like in my bubble of, no, I started this business. I'm going to handle everything. And it got to a point where I just couldn't anymore. And actually the business has thrived this year because I have allowed people like to do other roles.
Put me in charge. No, but I think that was a real turning point for us because we sat down and we were like, right, okay, if this is going to happen, let's map out what it is, what are your strengths, what are my strengths, and how we're going to work together on this. And I think the good thing is, obviously, we've worked together for so long. We've always shared that goal of where we want to take the company, and I've always been very aligned to your vision and your goals. But we, do you remember we sat down and you were like, okay, so a CEO is sort of the externals, like you're the front of house, and the director is, you know, the operationals and making sure that the clocks are turning and making sure that, you know, everything is running as it should and having a strategy and having those like amazing processes. And I think that was after LA, and we sat down and we were like, right, okay, we know how to play to those strengths. We know exactly what we're going to do. And then from that, like a lot of what I do is internal. It's back to the team. It's reviews. It's, I asked you yesterday what the biggest, this just sums it up, right? We said yesterday, what are we going to talk about our biggest successes are in the journey of 2 years? And Hannah said Forbes 30 under 30, which incredible achievement. And I said, well, we've got a HR team, we've got a financial manager. Like, but I do think that sums up like how we operate in our role, how
we're
our roles
very different.
Differ.
I think, you know, I'm very, probably a little bit ADHD in the way that I run things. So when we do reviews, you just love to chat. And I just always clock out. I just, you know, she goes on a big tangent. It's amazing. And I know the team love it. I just can't take it.
Yeah.
After eight of them, I'm like, Ella, please
the attention.
Stop talking.
But this is why it's so
but
good.
It's the best thing about you, but it's also...
And the best thing about you as well, because you are... Like Hannah is she's such a visionary, and she has these amazing ideas. And I think we work so well because I am more methodical and I can sit and be like, right, okay, we're going to meet this vision and we have this goal, but we need to think of the team. We need to think of... like the financials and what does that mean if you want to do this? Like, how are we going to plan for that?
Yeah, I have a lot of ideas.
Yeah. So
it's stressful because not all of them get to come true. And I think I'm always competing with what's our competitive edge.
Yeah.
And how do we continue to break barriers in this industry? And how do we, you know, we've disrupted an industry that's very traditional. And I think even down to like why the podcast before, I think I've always battled with this image of, who am I as a CEO? And what, like, because obviously I guess I am the face of business. I put myself out there and it's like, oh, everyone's really corporate. So looking a certain way. And I think I felt real victim to that of like being so scrutinized about it. And even when I put myself that out there as my authentic self, I've been hit with, she wants to be famous. She wants to be an influencer. Can I just say, if I wanted to do it, I could have, but I don't. So, you know, when you work in this business, it's very easy to understand it. but I don't want to do that. And I think people, and I feel like I've always had to defend myself, but now I'm actually like, you know, we are getting a bit more corporate, but I am not corporate.
I think, but that's what I speak about when we say that we've always been aligned to the goal and the vision, and that is always to have that boutique feel.
On a large scale. And even though,
on a large scale, there you go.
Can tell you say that in the office.
But I think, and that's part of my job is making it known to the team that that is the vision and that everyone does actually feel that. And we create a culture where everyone, you know, the team might be getting bigger and we might be hiring 3 new talent managers, but everyone's voice is heard and we're still working to that vision. But one thing I will say about you is I think where we are disruptive and we've done so much and we continue to do so many amazing things, and you are sort of leading that for us, and you are the front of house and you are the face of the business. It's very easy for people to like criticize you.
Oh yeah.
I think that, I mean, obviously that's like anyone that's in the public eye and like the, you know, talent that we manage, but.
Oh, I kind of like it because I can recognize the talent. And I think I've watched some of our talent really have it hard in the press and I know everyone always says it, oh, you think of other people, but actually, you know, when I see people get criticized on social media or in the press, I just think, actually, have we really learned anything as a society? Because some of the things I saw in videos, and I'm not going to go into when this was, but they were brutal. And I think a lot of, most of the talent we manage are all under 30. And these are young girls. Mm. And actually, not many people have to work, like, deal with that on a daily. And even like Tattle Life. I know a lot of the girls read those comments. And once you read them, it's like an addiction.
Do you feel like you're someone... I feel like this will explain the difference between me and Hannah. Are you someone that like looks for that and like you want to know what's being...
Well, people wouldn't talk about me like that. But if I was in the public eye like that, 100%, I want to know what's being said.
Whereas I'm like, I don't want to know. I just...
People like that actually focus better. But, you know, I remember once when I was put in the Daily Mail once with one of our clients, and I was in the background. So I wasn't like, I was just a picture in the background. Mm. And someone said, her blusher is awful. She looks like a clown. Please.
Did you hunt this person down?
Well, I just thought.
Did you come up with ideas of how to get back to this person in your head.
The difference between me and her though is you're talking about me and I'm not, so I don't care.
There you go.
Ridiculous.
So obviously last year, we always referred to last year as our big like rapid growth year. We like doubled our team.
We had a lot of successes.
Successes, and see on paper we turned over 7 figures, which was...
Well, we first turned over 7 figures year two,
yeah.
So like, but yeah, it was a completely different sort of milestone. Yeah.
So to then do it again was amazing. And obviously last year we put in a lot of new sort of like processes. Like we got HR, we got in-house finance. I kind of sort of rolled out what reviews would look like, how we set KPIs with the team. Mm-hmm. And I think we spoke about us kind of differentiating our roles and what that means and having like a real sort of growth strategy. But obviously last year, I feel like we kind of did it without speaking about it, and we still made those wins, didn't we? Obviously, we made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I think the biggest thing for me was us being able to communicate when we had made those mistakes and what that bounce back looks like. And I think that is so key. And I think that is so important to growth.
I think being really self-reflective is really important. I think me and you are very good at holding our hands up when things go wrong.
Yeah.
And when we are wrong, like, you know, and you know what? It's such like an important point, because I would say at the beginning of the year, I think I lost my spark a little bit. The beginning of this year, I did. I really struggled, and I think it's taken me a really long time to get it back.
How do you think you got that back?
Honestly, I don't know. And I hate
but
when people...
I think it's through accountability and self-awareness. And I think sitting with... Like, there's been so many times where me and Hannah will disagree on something. Or
we disagree all the time.
All the time.
I honestly think that you're not liking my points makes you wrong.
Yeah, but I was just about to say, I feel like it's growth between us as people, but also like managers of a company, that we can sit and disagree on something and you have your reasons why, I have my reasons why, and we find that in between. Whereas you're looking at it from the external and how we look like from that. And then I come from more of like internal, how it affects the team. But I think with our growth, that's come with us being like, we're able to communicate through those mistakes. And yes, we might disagree, but it's always, we've always got the same goal and vision.
I think this year I felt, because we hadn't had like the same, I guess, recognition as last year, I felt we just weren't ever doing well enough.
Yeah.
And because I'm always looking at the external, I just felt so low about everything. And I felt so sad. And I felt like we were constantly failing. And I was trying to push people harder and harder and pushing myself to the point I just kind of went, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I just felt really stressed. But then I think that we had a few setbacks in the last couple of months, like more internal, because actually our talent are always thriving. And I think one thing, we have great talent. They really appreciate what we do because we work so hard. But I think those were the things that put that kind of like the fire back in me, of being like, I know what we bring to a table. I know what we've achieved in such a small amount of time. So you're never going, like, I can't ever let anyone win. I just feel, you know how I feel. I'm always trying to be the best. I'm also trying to also do things differently. I think we have this really competitive edge that our whole team is young. Like, I think, you know, the oldest member of our team is 33, and I don't want to out them, but, you know. And then it goes on me. But it used to be, but I also think people sometimes really do forget, especially this team, where we've got 18-year-olds coming in. I started this business at 24, right? When I first started like talking about it and launching, it was 23, but it's 24. I used to be the youngest person in every single room. Every single room. Now I'm not. And I've also had to adjust to, like, I have changed a lot. I used to be really credited on the fact that I was young and building something incredible. I'm now just the same age as everybody else doing this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what sets us apart? And it's constantly looking at the fact that when we grow and we make and we do really well and we take on these incredible talent and our talent really succeed, I'm also really conscious of the fact of having a good shop front for the agency, as we are a brand in our own sense. And you know, the one thing I notice is people never really put the same respect on management's names as they do as brands. So if you launch a brand and they do seven figures quickly, guess what? You're praised, you are held. We do the same thing. It's just we're working people. We're just not. And I completely get that. But I also think sometimes we work with people, it's so tough because you know, we support talent through every big win and loss in life.
But I think it's an intricate like relationship. And I suppose we are a brand, but not everyone from the outside is going to know what goes into that. So it's harder for them to celebrate. Obviously, our talent are achieving incredible things. So that's something that is obviously always celebrated.
If when our talent have like a tough personal life, we take that home with us. And we really ensure that they're okay. I think, you know, mental health in this industry is something we're very passionate about. And the reason we started this business was to be the change in talent management for young women, especially. We now have the privilege of having men. And, you know, we've got some great guys on our books. It's not still like the predominant focus. And we actually, one of the biggest changes we've not said this year is we actually have male staff. One includes my father. Yes, yes, yes.
Big up, Paul. He's in the room right now.
He's here right now.
I'm glad you spoke about that because I suppose like for us, obviously being starting as a female-based, female-led company, and obviously advocating for young women and being young women at the time running the business, we now have staff that are young. We're not anymore.
We're young-ish.
Yeah. What do you think is like the importance of bringing up their confidence and being like role models to the talent first and foremost, but also our staff? Because one thing that I talk about quite a lot with especially the junior members of staff and the younger girls is that reverse like mentoring of, I want to learn from you girls. Like, things change all the time. The market changes all the time. And I think allowing the girls in our team and boys now in our team to have those conversations and come to us and be like, have you thought of doing it differently? Have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? Because they are the consumer.
And they're also, that is the ground. My thing I like to teach the young members of the team is believe in your source.
Yeah.
There's a reason that you have this job. Your age is nothing to do with your skill set. When I started, I was so young, and I won't lie, it was probably blind confidence for sure. But, you know, it's got me to this point. And I think what the beauty of what we do is we probably do have some young entrepreneurs that we are building up. And one day that will be part of that journey, of a very successful journey.
I think that's one of the
building the future.
One of the nicest things of this job is seeing like the talent, and but also our staff like really come into their own as managers, like finding their confidence and like finding their own kind of like management style. I love different. That. Yeah,
they're all way more organized than I am.
Yeah, and they're so creative, and I'd like to think that we've worked really hard at building a space and a culture at HLD that allows them to be creative, be themselves, be confident as these young women. And I think that comes from, well, you definitely like starting HLD as a 24-year-old, me joining, I think I was like 21 in the first year, of always being underestimated and always being in those rooms where you feel it.
That's like, where you got to find your strengths and then roll with it. Think how many times we send each other in because we have different strengths.
Yeah.
Like I'm very ballsy and I'll go in with like smoke and I'm ready because it's like, that's just like how I am as a person.
Yeah.
Because you're like very, like you're very like I'm timid,
more like
sweet.
Understanding.
People also just like, kind of, Bridgie.
Hannah hates giving me compliments.
I hate giving anyone compliments.
You know, it's something weird going on if she's being complimentative.
I think as well is like, we have a really stylish team, and when you look a certain way, I don't care what any industry you're in, you will always be judged for what you look like. Like your first 30 seconds count.
Yeah.
And I think it's always combating the stigma of being like, actually you can be super super smart but also look however you want, dress however you want, and wear as much makeup or as little makeup, and you know, there's no boundaries.
Yeah.
We're also bringing more of the team on, and we're going to speak to different people throughout the pod. So I think this time feels
this time
more personal.
Feels right. It feels exciting.
And there's loads of like, there's been loads of podcasts that have come out, and I see all different things, and I'm like, you know what? I know what I wanted to achieve when we first did this, and it was so long ago now, and I don't think the idea was quite right.
We're so different now as a business.
And as people.
There's so many different parts of what goes into HLD, and I think this is a nice platform to show that. I think also the new faces to the company, we've obviously got two males working for us, and
I'm an advocate for like the talent management world. It's a hard business. It's the behind the scenes of every single person that you love on TV, radio, and digital. And I have so many friends who are in different companies, and we're not all down to tear each other down.
Mm.
But we all go through the same sort of things with it, you know? And
I
also balancing personal and business, it will never balance.
Yeah, and I think what we went through in the early stages of HLD, making those mistakes and seeing that it's quite a bitchy industry and people are fickle, that drives us more to create a safe space and to create a culture where the staff do feel confident. When your manager feels confident and happy, the talent are going to feel that. And I think 100%. We've seen that over the last like 4 years, definitely. So the more you invest in your staff and you have processes and you're transparent, as much as you can be with your staff, I do honestly feel like the talent then feel that as well. So yeah, it's been an interesting 2 years, but
welcome back.
Shall we end the podcast on some exciting things that we've got coming up? Yep. Anything, could be anything, anything personal, anything business, talent.
I got annual leave on Thursday.
And we love our annual leave. Where are you going?
Soho Farmhouse.
Nice.
And I always feel really, really motivated when I go there.
Gorge.
There's loads of TV stuff I've got coming out of Grace.
Yeah.
Like some big, big shows. I just think I'm under embargo for almost everything.
It's
so
hard, isn't it? It's really hard to talk.
Say.
Yeah, to say about the exciting
things. Got some billboard
campaigns,
got some TV shows, got some new exciting talent signing, / we haven't announced them yet. But that's from my side. And then, you know, obviously we're hiring at the moment, which is always exciting. But my favourite and most exciting hire this year was having a full-time finance manager, because it felt like, wow, we're really there.
That was yeah, that's been my highlight of the year.
We've always had a finance team, but external. But now we've started bringing it internal and external. It's grown up.
Yeah, it makes things so much easier for us, and mm-hmm. I think for the team, like having someone to deal with the invoices and the payments. Yes, for the talent, but also having someone that can break things down to me and Hannah.
And also, we've got more stats now, but for us to have
a real understanding of our figures, of our forecasts, of our projections has really, really helped us, and it makes me sleep at night. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to New York in a couple of weeks. I am really excited for now to the end of the year. I feel like it's busy. I feel like we've got things going on every single month. Charlie is so busy. She's away quite a lot, but she's been announced as the second year running as a voiceover for I Kissed a Girl, which is really, really exciting. So that will start next year. And she's actually going away with...
Sick.
Amazing, isn't it? But yeah, I feel really good. I have a really good feeling about next year as well. Yeah. I think a lot of mine and Hannah's conversations are 2026 planning, which is really scary.
I've actually already started booking things in for 2026 in terms of talent. So, God, I haven't even got to Christmas yet. But we actually filmed a lot of Christmas stuff in April. So I feel like I've done Christmas now. Yeah. But I think, it's a really exciting time for us. And I'm hoping we can keep this running again. The only reason really it stopped because we got so busy. But now I feel like we've got a good flow.
Yeah, I think so. And I think those 2 years, we've seen a lot, done a lot, made some mistakes. I feel like obviously we're still making them, but we're here to talk about it, be candid about it, and hopefully we can help some people out there and also kind of mitigate that sort of perfect message that a lot of other managements put out there, that we don't make mistakes and it's all, you know, good all the time. And
just remember though, you are the most successful intern that's ever.
Oh thank you
intern to MD.
yeah.
What a catch line.
It's a catch line. I should change my Instagram bio. Okay.
Well, thanks.
Nice to catch up with you.
Nice to see you. I'll catch up with you in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Managed. If you loved watching, please make sure you're following us so you can receive updates on our next episode. I'll see you next week.
And we were guilty of that. You kind of...
Fuck. It's my coffee.
What's that?
Ew, I don't want this. No.
Oh my God. That was disgusting. The coffee congealed in the microwave, I think. And she just...